Well, Dr. Eric Pianka, otherwise known as the Lizard Man, he is an American biologist. His work includes herpetology, evolutionary ecology. He's written a bit of a textbook, Evolutionary Ecology. He wrote it in 1983, and it's a classic. I think if you have an interest in lizards, you're likely to have an interest in Australia, given that we are home to the highest number of reptile species in the world. And that is what Dr. Pianka has been doing at the moment. He's focusing on lizard communities in Australia. Welcome, 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 Eric. It's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
I wanted to say to those listening, if you have a question for Eric about Australian lizards, Aussie lizards of any kind, really, he says he's quite happy to have a yak with you. So you can call if you like, 1300 222 702. All righty, Eric, tell us about Australian lizards.
Well, I've studied them out in the desert, so I don't know too much about lizards in Sydney.
Okay.
So I'm a WA freak. I love the red sand deserts. That's my favorite place on earth out there.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of the Great Victoria Desert. I've got a site with 55 species of lizards on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I was here the first time in the 60s with my ex-wife, the love of my life, mother of my children, we discovered 7 undescribed species of comb-eared Tenotus skinks. And one is now named Helene after her, and another one's named Pianka I after me. Both of those need revision because they actually turned out to be species complexes. They're like 4 or 5 species all rolled into one.
But you have a lizard named after you, which is an excellent bit of business. Tell us about about Australian lizards as a whole. I mean, we have an extraordinary collection of lizards in this country.
I'm going to start one of my talks with a map of the world, and the colors indicate species richness. And Australia is bright red,
yeah.
And there's no other place in the world that comes even close.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, I studied lizards first in North America, in the deserts of the U.S. and Mexico. And the most I could ever find was about 10. And then I went to Australia, and I worked one day on a good site and got 12. And that added up to 30 or 40 by the time we finished a year and a half later. And so I was just blown away. And now I'm ruined. I can't study lizards in low-diversity systems. I want to go to Australia. Yep. So I've lived out in the bush 7 years of my life, and I'm kind of a recluse. And I never got properly socialized because I was in hospitals when I was a kid. And anyway, my friends can't believe that I can live out in the desert all alone and have a birthday and Christmas and New Year's without even missing companionship, but I love it.
Just lizards for company. And I should say to people, you kind of do look like you could be a bit of a recluse because you've got a bushy white beard and, you know, not that far from what a classic kind of hermit person looked like. Not that far from Santa Claus either, I should tell you. But obviously, being out there, I mean, it is remote, it is lonely, but you must be absolutely absorbed by what you're doing. What are you doing?
Well, I collect lizards, and I've killed 20,000 of them in my lifetime all over the world. So I've studied them in the Kalahari Desert in Africa, too. That's intermediate between North America and Australia. I'm trying to save every lizard I ever killed, and all I know about it, its stomach contents, its reproductive state, and everything, its weight and body measurements, everything I know about every lizard I ever killed for future generations, because they're not going to be able to do what I did. Nobody's going to be allowed to do what I did ever again. When we came here in the 60s, you didn't even need a permit to go out. And I shipped 3,000 lizards from Australia to Princeton, New Jersey in a big crate. And now you can't do that. You have to get permits, and everything is controlled by Canberra, and it's just... Well, one guy called it the Canberra grab, because when I got here, WA was like an independent state. And, you know, there was the Nullarbor Plain, and the Eyre Highway was just a muddy bog. There was no paved road.
Wow. Tell me how we end up with lizards.
Oh, well, when I was a little kid, about 5 or 6, my family took a trip back east to visit our grandparents. And there was only one highway that was paved across America. That was before the interstate system. This was in the 40s, okay? Probably mid-40s, just after the war. And we stopped. We took Highway 66 from California to Illinois. We stopped somewhere. It could have been in Texas. But we stopped at a roadside park, and there was wisteria vine growing over the place where we were eating lunch. And I looked up, and there was a green lizard looking back at me.
Yeah.
And I wanted that lizard so bad, I got my uncle to try to catch it. And he grabbed it, but it broke its tail off. And so he gave me this twitching tail, and I was holding it, a little kid about 7 or 8, looking up at this sassy lizard and wishing I had the lizard instead of just his tail. So, you know, I just got hooked on lizards at a very young age. I remember when I was in the third grade, two classrooms down in the first or second grade, they had an aquarium with a little baby American alligator in it. And I stayed after school. I went down to watch that alligator, and I reveled in its every move. It was like, holy cow, how can anything be this neat? And there's a lot of little kids like that now.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But they're not going to be allowed to do what I did.
Yeah, well, I happen to be living with a lizard fancier and who's a bit mad for the thorny devil. I'm going to get to your favourite lizard in a moment, Eric, but Chris from Cogra is on the line. Hi, Chris. Where is Chris? Hi, Chris.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good morning. I have a question mark about whether the Parenti is the largest lizard in Australia. I have no doubt it is the longest, but back in the late 1970s in the mountains west of Mount Warning in northern New South Wales, I saw an extremely large lace monitor, which was probably about 6.5 feet nose to end of tail, but it was built like a Komodo dragon. It had a much bigger and solider physique than any Parenti I've seen in a photograph or in the flesh. So I'm questioning Dr. Eric whether he believes that the lace monitor, in its largest examples, could outweigh a big Parenti.
Well, you've got a good point, Chris. Certainly, lace monitors are more heavy-bodied. You know, and if we look in the geological past, there's fossil record of Komodo dragons living in mainland Australia.
That is
and
true.
And now they're restricted to the islands offshore, the Java and Flores and whatnot. But I think lace monitors are much heavier bodied. They're closer to Komodos than a Parenti is.
Well, the one I saw, honestly, the legs on it, the side, the tail, you know, the thickness of the tail where it came out at the end of the body, the head, it had head like a Labrador. It was just and I was very close to it due to an unusual circumstance, but it was really, really big.
Yeah,
I think it's sort of silly to talk about what's the biggest lizard in Australia. Certainly, you're right, the Parenti is the longest.
Yes.
I know one guy who measured one at 8 feet, 3 inches.
Yes.
Snout to tip of tail.
Yeah.
They're long, skinny beasts.
That's it, though, that they're slender.
Yeah, they are.
Whereas this one I saw, this lace, was just like a little Komodo dragon.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, thank you for that, Chris. Tell us about your favourite Australian lizard, Eric.
It's a little monitor lizard, a little pygmy. Varanus aramaeus, it's bright red. I've tracked those things for thousands of kilometres. The very first paper I wrote in Australia in 1968 was in the Western Australian Naturalist. It's called Notes on the Biology of Varanus aramaeus. And when I published it, I thought, nobody will ever, ever know more than I know about that lizard because I followed their tracks, and you learn from following their tracks. Maybe an Aboriginal because they eat them. They might know as much as I do, but you're not going to get them.
But you see, you probably don't know, though, what they taste like.
No, I never ate one.
There you go.
My daughter studied oysters, and she asked me once, she said, Daddy, have you ever eaten your study animal, a lizard? I said, no.
And you probably should at some point.
She said everybody should, but then I asked her about oysters, and I said, do you like them cooked or raw? And she said, both ways, and they're delicious.
Okay. Russell from Leichhardt has got a question. Oh, before we go to Russell, why do you like this particular
Because it's a lizard hunter, just like me.
Okay.
And they eat other lizards.
Oh, do they? They're cannibals.
They're about this long.
Okay.
And they eat small skinks and things. One time, my ex-wife, love of my life, Helen.
What happened to her?
Oh, she's living She went back to her maiden name, and she's living in the home she was raised in.
Did she leave you because you were stuck out in the desert?
Well, you know, at one point when I tried to celebrate what would have been our 50th birthday, she called me and she said, I never enjoyed being married to a hardcore biologist who would just jump on a plane and take off for months at a time.
Oh, gee, she could have piped up a little earlier, maybe.
Well, she went to Australia with me shortly after we were married, and we were not going to have a child or an existence. And then that damn nesting gene turned on when I got a job and we bought a house. And it was, she came up one morning and said, my life wouldn't be complete without children.
Okay.
That was this. But I have two lovely daughters. They're both having hard lives.
Well, all right. Well, we probably shouldn't get too much into that, but we will talk more lizards. We'll talk about the rest off air. Here we go. Here's Russell from Leichhardt. Hi, Russell. You've got a question for Dr. Eric Pianca?
Yes, Wendy. Eric, so the goanna and the Komodo dragon are related, is that right?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're in the same genus. There was a fossil in Australia called Megalania, but it's really a varanus. It was 30 feet long. We just have a few bones of that. It was in the Pleistocene. It probably ate Australian aborigines.
The Komodo dragon has venom, doesn't it?
Well, it's an awesome lizard, no matter how you look at it. You know, and they're in big trouble because there's a toxic Asian toad moving down that chain of islands. It hasn't got to Flores or Komodo yet, but it will.
I was going to say, Mr. Komodo dragon, if it bites you, you will die from the venom. Is that right?
I don't buy into that bullshit. The guy who wants some venomous is a venom specialist, and for him... Okay. Saliva is venom.
That's what I thought, it was bacteria, but then they said, no, it's venom.
Well, I've been bitten by a parenti, and the wound got very infected with bacteria, because they do eat dead things.
Okay.
Their teeth are dirty.
That's going to say the goannas could be bacterial. Okay, right. Okay. Oh,
well, there's a little bit of evidence that some of them might be slightly venomous, but I don't... In science, you got to keep an open mind, and you don't immediately jump to conclusions.
Sure.
Thank you very much for that, Russell. You mentioned there the threat, of course, Eric, of the these venomous toads, which brings us fairly neatly to the threats that you see for lizards. You must have seen a great decline in lizard populations over the years you've been coming here.
Yeah, the last time I was here, the climate change is so savage in Australia. You guys are getting hit the worst in the whole world. Mm. But... shrubs are invading my long-term study site that I've been studying for decades. And in response to the shrubs, the insect fauna has changed. The birds and lizards have decreased in diversity. And, you know, I used to think long after humans have gone extinct, those lizards will be roaming out there completely oblivious of my efforts to study what they do. But I don't think that anymore. I think we're going to take them out.
Really?
Yeah, because climate change is... global. It's really a menacing thing.
Climate change, land clearing, feral animals. I mean, obviously climate change is the overarching one. But what else are the biggest threats we have?
Well, we're paving over the whole planet.
Mm.
I mean, look at Sydney. The first time I got here 50 years ago, Sydney was a nice little town.
Yep.
And Cheltenham was out in the outskirts. And now... it just sprawls. It's like Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. You're out there in the wilds of WA. Do you see any ferals out your way?
Oh, yeah. There's cats, camels, foxes, dingoes. Dingoes were brought in by Aboriginals, so I don't know if you can classify them as ferals or native, but yeah.
I want you to tell me why you love lizards so much.
Okay, I forgot rabbits, obviously.
Oh, yeah, rabbits. Rabbits, of course, yeah. Why do you love lizards so much?
Well, for me, a world without lizards would be so impoverished it wouldn't be worth living on. Mm-hmm. When I catch a really neat lizard, for me it's a little gold nugget. And I had one study site where there was a guy that was a pastoral guy, and he was always looking for minerals on his property, and eventually he found gold. But he was convinced that I was sneaking around looking for gold. And I'd take lizards in and show them to him that were really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's just nothing quite like a lizard. That goes all the way back to when I was 5 or 6. I was born a biologist.
Well, what is it about them particularly?
there's so much we can learn from lizards because they eat their food whole, and I kill them, and then I take them back to the lab and cut them open and look at their stomach contents. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that with birds and mammals. They chew their food, and it's a lot harder. So lizards are also very abundant, and they're ectotherms. Yeah. They stay in one place, whereas mammals go underground in bad weather and birds fly away. So lizards are really beautiful study organisms. I'm a community ecologist. That's what I'm really at.
What does that mean?
I study whole communities, the 55 species in one place. I've got a food web of who eats who, with Parentes at the very top, and then Varanus gouldii, the sand monitor, and then the pygmies, and all kinds of other lizards, 40-some species.
Do they have much in common about the way they parent, you know, lizards?
Well, there's not much parental care in lizards. They just lay their eggs.
Maybe that's why you're attracted to them as well.
That's another very neat thing, because you can estimate the amount of effort and energy that a female puts in a clutch of eggs by the ratio of the clutch mass to the female mass. And you can't do that with any other organism that has parental care.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of reasons they're perfect study organisms.
Yeah, yeah. But you must love them, apart from them being perfect to study. You must love the look of the things.
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I think a world without lizards would be not worth living on. No, it wouldn't be.
What about people who keep them as pets? What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's a good thing, but they shouldn't take them out of the wild to keep them as pets. They should breed them. Because, you know, an awful lot of herps that are taken out of the wild are sold in pet stores, and they're never going to get back into the wild, and they usually die. People all over the world want to have a thorny devil, and they've smuggled them out of Australia a few times, but they could never take care of them, and they always die. There's pictures in lizards books of sickly-looking thorny devils that aren't getting the right...
I love thorny devils. They drink with their feet, don't they? Is that true?
They what?
Drink with their feet.
Well, there's little grooves in their skin, and if they're standing in water...
Yeah.
Water moves by capillary action up to the corners of their mouth.
Isn't that brilliant?
We weighed one once before it rained and afterwards, and it gained about a gram of water.
Is that right? And I see where actually they're using biological architecture. They're using for cladding and so forth the skin of the thorny devil as a way to sort of suck water out of the atmosphere in the desert to build buildings.
It's hygroscopic. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a grad student once who studied horned lizards. They're the ecological counterparts of thorny devils in North America. They eat ants too, and they're spiny. And there's about a dozen or more species. She got them all, went to Mexico and collected them, and came back. And we digitized them on CAT scans with X, Y, and Z coordinates of all parts of their heads. So she would have something to do on her PhD thesis. And anyway, they called me up after they digitized thorny devils. They found bones in all the spines in their head. They said, "Do you have a Moloch?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "Bring it over. We'll CAT scan it." And I took it over, and they CAT scanned it. And then they called me and said, "You won't believe this. Come look at it. The thorny devil didn't have bones in its spines. It made them out of skin."
Wow.
And I've got, in my talk and online, I've got pictures from that at high-intensity CAT scans and low.
We've got to go then. Tonight, you're going to be at Ryde Eastwood Leagues Club at 7 p.m. You'll be there for the Australian Herpetological Society. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric.
Thank you.
Dr. Eric Pianka, the Lizard Man.